Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It is Super Sunday, and so I've got a super sermon for you. Matthew 8, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Verse 7 is a powerful, powerful verse. I will come and heal him. It's a foregone conclusion. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should comest under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Matter of fact, shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes; to another, come, and he comes; and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in all of Israel. My title for this message is superficial or super faithful. Superficial or super faithful. You may be seated. It is Super Bowl Sunday. I have yet to see a Rams jersey in the house. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places. I don't know if I've seen a Patriots jersey or shirt in the house today. But what I have seen is 28 other teams represented here today. Teams that 5 months ago had faith that they would be playing tonight at 5:30. But they will be watching it just like you and I. They will be watching the commercials, and they will be saying to their friends and family, that could have been me. Some of them, like the New Orleans Saints, will say, that should have been me. But at the end of the day, there's two teams that their action and works combined with their faith and maybe a little help from the refs got them to the Super Bowl. There are a lot of people that you will meet in life that when they see somebody living their best life now, they will say, that could have been me. There will be others that say, that should have been me. But would have, could have, should have is just that. It takes people that do not have a superficial layer of faith to their life, but actually have a source of faith in their life, that when they believe something and when they say something, that something literally transpires and turns in the heavens and spits out what those people of faith have declared and have prophesied. Are you tracking with me this morning? So this is not the kind of place that is going to be a could have place. And we should have done that. And we might have been able to. And if only this had happened, we're going to take every excuse out of the book. And we're going to become like David was in the face of Goliath when he heard all of the excuses from his older brothers and all of the other military of Israel. And he would just stand and say, is there not a cause? Because for every excuse that we can come up with, there is somebody on our pew, somebody in our section. There's another believer halfway around the world that could have used the same excuse that we used, but said, I'm not going to use that excuse. And I'm not going to be a could have. I'm not going to be an also ran. I'm not going to be a footnote to history. But I will be the David. I will be the Esther. I will be the Abraham. I will be the Mary. I will be the Paul that steps up to my generation and says, when I speak, there is no superficial. It doesn't just look like it. It doesn't just sound like it. But there is a substance to my faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you have faith? One way to see if you have faith: when you speak, do things change? When you speak, do mountains move? Genesis chapter 1 tells us of the authority of the Word of God, and not only the Word of God, but the voice of God. The voice of God and the Word of God are the two most powerful things on the face of the earth, because everything on the earth and the earth itself was made up of the Word of God and the voice of God. That means we as believers have to stand on two things: the Word of God and the voice of God. I've got 66 books in my Bible, the same 66 you have. That is the written Word of God. But I also have the Holy Spirit that Galatians tells me I can live in and walk in, that becomes the voice of God. And so I've got the written Word of God to stand on, and I've got the spoken Word of God to push me and pull me and provoke me to where I need to be. And I've always said this: there's no reason for God to speak to you if we haven't obeyed what he wrote. So when we establish, and Joshua talks about it in chapter 1 of Joshua's book, and he says that we observe and meditate on all of the law day and night, so that we might do it, and not just observe it, but do it. And when we do it, we'll have good success and prosperity. That's what Joshua says. So I'm building a platform here now of the Word of God, the written Word, and the spoken Word, which is his voice. So in Genesis chapter 1, God is standing on nothing. He just exists. But God doesn't just want to exist. God wants there to be something that happens. You and I are something that happens. Now check this out. God didn't create a world just to create a world. He didn't create earth just to show off to Gabriel and Michael and all the other angels. He created a world, and then he created water, and then he created sun, and then he created moon, and then he created trees. All of that because guess who was on their way? Us. So he created a world and an earth before he created us, and then put us in it. Meaning this: whatever you need from God has already been created. I don't think you heard me. That means everything we need has already been created. How do I know that? Because he never would have created me if what I needed hadn't already been created. So everything that I'm praying for, everything that I'm interceding for, everything that my family needs, it's already been created, because Brandon wouldn't be standing in 2019 if God hadn't already created my world for me to step into. Let there be. Let there be light. And it was so. And it was good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. So when God speaks, it is always good. When God speaks, it always, always, always happens. When he said, let there be light, light didn't say, well, I don't know about this, God. It's really dark out there. Light just happened. You serve a God that makes things happen, doesn't hope for things to happen. Hope was created for us, not for God. God doesn't deal in hope in his realm. When God says it, it happens. We're not talking about superficial. Superficial would be all the cliches that the church has come up with. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. And we say all of these things, and we say them sometimes to a fault, because we say them superficially. How many of you talk to your spouse? Just raise your hand. You talk to them? Like, since you got married, you talk to him. You talk. How many of you talk by phone, by text, you talk to him? How many of you talk numerous times a day? I talk to Mandy numerous times a day. I'll call her. She'll call me. And we've got in the habit, because we celebrate 16 years of marriage here in just a couple weeks. Excited about that. But it's amazing to me how comfortable we've gotten with the word, I love you. The words, I love you. So we'll be talking about something crazy. And then in the end, all right, babe, I'll see you later. Love you. And then we just hang up. I love you too. Just hang up. And I think we say it so much that there's sometimes where we've got to call each other back and say, you know what? I really do love you. It's not filler word. It's not a superficial love. It's a love that we have built a life together. It's a love that I would take a bullet for you. It's a love that I would go to prison over you. Come on now. I'll be the next Apostle Paul. That's all right. And so when we talk about super faith instead of superficial, your faith cannot reside at church. Faith cannot be just inspired when you hear your favorite song or favorite preacher and you have faith for a moment. Faith needs to follow you home. Actually, let me backtrack. Faith needs to lead us home. Faith needs to lead us into our jobs. Faith needs to lead us into our schools. And we cannot just say things all the time. We've got to have a word and a voice. That means the word of God cannot go through Brandon's filter and be changed to be politically correct. The word of God cannot be polluted or diluted. When I say the word of God, it has to be exactly like he spoke it, exactly like he wrote it. But this is where it really gets tricky. When I say the word of God, I've got to sound like God. Because the word, the world, does not respond to Brandon's word. The word does not respond to Brandon's voice. The word is voice activated, but my voice has to carry some authority and my voice has to have some base in it so that when I speak the word, the adversary and all of the material made up that is going to create my miracle or my blessing, so that when it hears that, it knows that ain't Brandon talking. That's an authority that has been given from heaven to earth. He's not the same that he used to be. Thank God when I open up my mouth, the devil snaps to attention and he listens to what I say. Not superficial, but super faithful. Not just faithful, but faith that makes Jesus marvel. Let's go to the text here in verse 5 really quickly. Jesus entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and he said this, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now, I've read this account hundreds of times in the last 20 years, but one thing that I did not realize is the centurion never asked Jesus to come and heal his centurion servant. Never asked it. What he did was he told Jesus about his problem. Check this out. He said, Jesus, I've got a servant that is sick and he is being grievously and he is being tormented so much by the adversary. This is what Jesus' response was. I will come and heal him. There is a level of faith, people of God, that you don't have to speak it. Now I'm a declaration guy. I'm a prophecy guy. And now there's conflict within this text. Because here I've told that we have to speak it. And we have to sound like God. And here a Roman that's not even a Jew comes up to Jesus and says, this is my situation. And Jesus doesn't hear faith. Get this. Jesus sees faith. Is your faith big enough that Jesus can see it without you having to share it? Come on now. We got people on our jobs we're not going to have enough time to talk to. They need to see our faith. They need to see Jesus. We need to exude Jesus. We need to exude the Holy Ghost. And so when this centurion walks up on the scene, he says, Jesus, I know you just healed 10 lepers. I know you just showed up into my city. This is what I need to tell you. I've got a servant that is sick. That's not a complaint. That is him telling Jesus the situation. And Jesus doesn't hear faith. Jesus sees faith because it's super faith, not superficial. I can tell you what you want to hear and it be superficial. That's why relationships don't last, because they're built on superficial. I was going to say superficiality. Mandy, is that a word? Check and see if that's a word for me. If not, we're going to put it down as a Brandonism. by words. She's checking. Check real quick. Check, check, check. I got to make sure. I got to fix this if it's not. It is. Someone said it is. My God, I feel a witness in my spirit. Thank you for whoever said that. But by words, we can. Is that a Texans jersey and a Cowboys jersey together? Is that what's happening here? My God, the Holy Spirit is powerful. Reconciliation. We shall overcome. Here it is right here. Sorry, I'm going down some rabbit trails. It's a word. My God, it's a word. Thank you, Jesus. Our words can produce superficiality. Man, that's a good word. I'm going to say that 3 or 4 more times. Get ready. But what happens is, in a course of relationship, you get past favorite colors, favorite restaurants, come on now, favorite movies, and you get to what really matters. The problem is we make a lot of decisions and relationships based on superficial things, and then we don't like the real things. And then we end those relationships. See, Jesus looks past the superficiality of mankind, and he looks to the source. He didn't say, this man is not a Jew. He didn't say this man is not the right color. He didn't say this man is out of time and out of line. What he said is when he speaks, I can see something within him that he has not even asked me to show up at his house. He has not asked me to heal his servant. But what I see is faith. There is a super faith that God sees. Just like all of these superheroes have their special power, as a believer, our special power is super faith. It is a faith that, listen, I'm not telling you not to talk about it. I'm not telling you not to declare it and prophesy. What I'm telling you is there is a level of faith that we can step into, that God reads our mind. You say you're going to have to back that up with scripture. I'm glad you said that. Ephesians 3:20, unto the God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Meaning, my God, I'm going to preach myself happy. Meaning, when I show up in the presence of God, God, this is what's going on, and I praise you. God, this is what I'm seeing right now in my life, but I'm here to worship you. I'm here to spend time with you. I'm here to cut past the superficial layer. I'm here to get to know you. I'm here for you to get to know the deepest, darkest parts of me. God, I want that kind of relationship with you. And it is amazing when God can see your faith and not just hear your faith. When he sees your faith, it's amazing Jesus' response. Verse 7, well, I'll come to your house and heal him. Then this is what the centurion says, and this is the faith that Jesus marvels at. I'm going to paraphrase what the centurion said. I didn't ask you to come to my house. Now Jesus, check this out. Jesus is dealing, man, this is a good preaching right here. Jesus is dealing with the centurion like he dealt with Peter when Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Now this is my problem. Why does a Jew named Peter, that is a disciple of Jesus, have to have Jesus show up at his house to get his miracle? But you've got a Roman who is not even the right ethnicity at the time that has enough faith that when Jesus says, I'm going to show up at your house, the centurion said, I never asked that, Jesus. He said, I'm a man under authority. For you to have authority, you have to be. That's why God doesn't bless lone rangers. That's why God doesn't bless rogue agents. There are no 007s in the kingdom of God. We are a team. We are the body of Christ. And when you understand authority and you are under, everybody needs accountability. Everybody needs a mentor. I don't care if you've been saved for 3 minutes or you're one of the bishops of the biggest churches in the world. You need to be under authority so that you can have authority. And he said, I am a man who is under authority. I understand authority. I say, go and he goes, come and he comes, do this and he does it. And Jesus stopped and said, I have not seen so faith, not heard, not heard, I've not seen this kind of faith. Church, I hope this is resonating with you this morning, that you can get to the level of faith that when you show up in the presence of God, God said, I'm already on it. That before I pray it, God said, I'm already working. That before I fill out a prayer card, before I call my prayer partner, God says, go ahead and call him. Get you some encouragement around you. But I'm already working. Brandon, I'm already going to the house. But God, I didn't ask you to go to the house. I know you didn't ask me. And I might not be going physically, but I'm sending my word. I'm sending my presence. I'm sending my anointing. Can I encourage somebody today? You ought to thank God we live in 2019. There might not be a physical Jesus on this earth, but his spirit reigns supreme, and you can send him to your boss today. You can send him to a hospital today. You can send him to a loan officer today. You can send him to a prodigal son today. You can send him wherever you need him to show up. It's not a superficial faith. It is a super faith. When I show up, when you show up, God sees something. Stand on your feet. It's amazing when you compare the nameless centurion with the apostle Peter. Peter, same scenario, mother-in-law was sick, centurion's servant was sick. Centurion, who had no relationship with God compared to Peter, said, I don't need you to show up. God sees his faith. Says, I'll show up at your house. Centurion says, that's not what I asked for. I know that you can send your word because I understand authority because I'm under authority. Peter never said that. Peter said, I need you to go to my house right now. Now, it's a different kind of faith when you ask God to heal your mother-in-law, but that's another sermon. We'll go over here. My mother-in-law's over here. Let me step over here real quick. I got great in-laws, y'all. Great in-laws. But notice that Peter is a word-driven person. Because at the end of Jesus' earthly life, what do we see Peter doing? Denying. Denying him with his voice. Three times. I don't know him. Cussing, screaming, hollering. Because he had a superficial faith. His faith was so thin on top that when Jesus died, not only had he forsaken and abandoned and betrayed him, he ripped off all of his clothes and was fishing naked. That's cray-cray, y'all. That's crazy. I don't care what time period it is. Because he had a superficial layer of faith. Now, the good news is, Peter goes on to be one of the greatest men to ever live. Preached the greatest sermon ever preached in the house of Cornelius, which ushered in the Gentiles being able to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. 3,000 in the middle of his sermon without an altar call got filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That is the Peter that started with superficial faith. But he ended with super faith. You know how I know he had super faith? Because the Bible talks about him and John walking and their shadows. You can get to the place. I got to get down here where my shadow. You can get to the place. You're not going to have to lay hands on everybody. You're just going to walk by them. I don't have to speak faith, I am faith. I don't have to speak faith, I live faith. You can see a super faith in me. Can I talk to the church today? I want you to name it. I want you to claim it. I want you to speak it. I want you to declare it. I want you to prophesy it as much as you can. But you've got to get to the place that you don't even have to open your mouth. You've got a super faith that will get the job done. When you show up, Jesus shows up. When you show up, Holy Ghost shows up. I'm opening this altar right now. If you need anything in your life that only a super faith can get, I need you to step out of your seat. I need you to join me right now. I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm not going to beg. You've got about 2 minutes to get to this altar, and we're going to pray. And I'm not saying you've got a superficial faith. What?